But I do have a message from God's Word plan. So why don't I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. There isn't a handout or anything. You might want to take some notes if you'd like. You know, we sing the song, The Secret Place. Have you ever wondered where did the words for that song come from? And what is that talking about? And is it rooted in the Scriptures or not? I found a secret place of comfort and release, a special place of healing, a quiet place of peace. And everyone who dwells there finds rest beneath God's wings. In the shade of His pavilion, new strength He always brings. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace. He gives me rest, He keeps me safe. I find His strength, I seek His face in the secret place. Where do those words come from? Well, they come from Psalm 91. As we look tonight at the secret place. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now there is much discussion and yea, even dispute as to who wrote Psalm 91. We do not know. Some suggest Moses, some suggest David and others. But the bottom line is God wrote it through His holy prophets as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it's a psalm that you would do well to know, for indeed, the archenemy, the devil or Satan, otherwise called Lucifer, knows it very well. In fact, you may remember that when he tempted the Lord Jesus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, that Satan said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." And now he quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. "He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now if you notice closely, Satan he was quoting from Psalm 91. And keep in mind, Satan knows the Bible. In fact, he knows it better than you. In fact, apparently, he has it memorized even. And what is interesting, he not only knows the Bible, he not only knows the Hebrew, but he even knows the Greek, and he not only knows the Greek version of the Septuagint, which was the Greek version of the Old Testament, but on this particular occasion, he actually quotes from the Septuagint instead of the Hebrew manuscript because it furthers his objective. For you see, he is the twister of Scripture, the tormentor of Scripture. He tortures the Word of God. He puts it on the rack, as it were, and twists it in whatever way he sees fit to accomplish his objectives. And if you look closely here, you will see in the Matthew account, he corresponds with he. Shall corresponds with shall. Give corresponds with give. His corresponds with his. Angels corresponds with angels. Charge over you. Charge over you. Everything's good so far, right? To keep you in all your ways. Notice it's not quoted there. In their hands, now we begin again. In their hands, they shall bear you up. They shall bear you up. Lest you dash your foot against the stone. Lest you dash your foot against the stone. It is interesting to notice that there is a section of this that he purposely left out. Or actually added to, in this case. He left out, I should say, to keep you in all your ways. He didn't include that. To keep you in all your ways. You see, Satan sometimes adds to the Word of God, sometimes subtracts from the Word of God. He seeks to use it in whatever way he sees fit. And on this occasion, he was seeking to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to throw himself off from the pinnacle of the temple in which he had just surveyed the kingdoms of the world. And Satan had said to our Lord Jesus that if you bow down, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus did not say, well, you have no right to give me that. For indeed, He is the God of this world system and age. He took the scepter from Adam after Adam and Eve sinned against God. And thus, this is the devil's world. And one day, Jesus Christ is coming back to reclaim this planet for God and to set up His long-awaited kingdom on earth. But in the meantime, Satan tempted Him. He resisted temptation. We know, reflecting again his deity that had become humanity, his sinlessness, and he was in all points tempted as we are yet without sin. And he quotes from Psalm 91. Now, I was meditating on Psalm 91. I think it was Saturday for my devotions. I was reading, I was thinking, meditating. It's been a while since I've been here. I can still remember the days when I was in Bible college, a missionary, the president of a missionary agency, speaking at our school during chapel service, and what was his message on? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I still remember it. And I'd like to underscore, because of time tonight, in the first four verses, three things that you need to keep in mind. For if you look closely through the psalm, you see it's a psalm that's filled with comments on pestilence, enemies, refuge, shelter, protection. In other words, the psalmist is aware of trials that are going on in his life or trials he anticipates. And each of us experiences trials as well, do we not? I remember once a believer telling me, you know, these people talk about trials, I don't know what they're talking about. I just said, buckle up. And sure enough, he came back to me about a year later after numerous, very difficult, hard trials, and he said, now I know what you're talking about. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty in those trials. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Now, I first of all call your attention to the word dwells here. The word dwells means to remain in the Hebrew. It means to sit. It means to abide. And notice, where does he abide? Where does he remain? Where does he sit? In the secret place of the Most High. And if he does, he shall abide. Now, this is a little different Hebrew word than the first word. In fact, for us in Minnesota, we will like this. It is the Hebrew word loon. Now, it's probably pronounced different than loon, but that's what I'm calling it tonight. And it means to lodge, to pass the night. See, he who remains, he who sits, he who abides, where? In the secret place of the Most High, shall lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a good place to be in your trials. And the reason I stated this first principle is, namely, in your trials, your focus needs to be on the person of God, is because there are four different words for God in verses 1 and 2. And all emphasize a certain aspect of His character or essence we do well to remember in our trials. First of all, we see He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Here's our first one. Elyon. And the word Elyon speaks of the fact that He is the possessor of heaven and of earth. And so the emphasis here is on possession. Possession. He owns it all. He's the one who's absolutely in control. And one of the things we need to remember when we're going through trials is, who's in control? Who owns it all? It's the Most High. It's the Most High. Secondly, He's called here the Almighty. It is our word Shaddai. And Shaddai emphasizes provision. Isaac says, you know, where's the sacrificial lamb? Where's the ram? El Shaddai will provide. El Shaddai. It's mentioned in the case of Hagar and Ishmael. Provision. See, when you're going through trials, you need to remember who's in control, and you need to remember where your provision comes from. And He said to you in your trials, My grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, I will say to the Lord. Now, here's our third word in the Hebrew, and this is our word Yahweh, or Jehovah. And this emphasizes personal relationship and promise-keeping. You see, in your trials, you need to remember who's in control. You need to remember who is it that provides. And thirdly, you need to remember you have a relationship with the Lord. You've been bought with a price. And He is always faithful to keep His promises. But you're not going to remember that if you don't focus there. The fourth phrase that is used, and I forgot to put that in yellow, is My God. Now, interesting, it's the word Elohim. You say, well, what's the significance of Elohim? In Genesis chapter 1, when God is recording His creation in six literal 24-hour days of the universe and all that is therein, He uses the word Elohim. Why? Because it emphasizes power. Tremendous creative power. Now, in chapter 2, when He talks about when He created Adam and Eve, and then He bound them into a marriage, He uses the word Yahweh. Why? Because we're talking about two separate, conflicting accounts? Oh, no. We're talking about an expansion in chapter 2 of what is touched on in chapter 1 with a different emphasis. Chapter 1 of Genesis talks about creation, and that requires Elohim to manifest great power. But in chapter 2, we're talking about Him having a relationship with God, with Adam, and with Eve, and them having a relationship with one another. So he switches names for God to emphasize that point. And in your trials, you need to remember who's in control. You need to remember who's the one who ultimately provides. You need to remember that you have a personal relationship with Him, and He keeps His promises. And fourthly, you need to remember He's a God of tremendous power. Is anything too hard for God? Anything too hard for God? But notice, where's the focus? The focus in the words of the psalmist here, which, by the way, remember, was a song. These are songs that were sung. Emphasized to us, he was very much aware of who his God is. You know why? Because he was dwelling in the secret place. That's why. He was staying in communion and in fellowship with the Lord and in meditation on his word. And when we fail to stay in touch with the Lord, and we fail to meditate on God's Word, it's easy to lose focus in our trials of the person of our God. And so in your trials, ask yourself, where's your focus right now? Is it on that medical situation? Is it on that relational problem? Is it on this physical thing? And so, where is it? Is it on your God? Are you remembering He's in control? Are you remembering He's the one who provides? Are you remembering He cares about you and He keeps His promise? Are you remembering power belongs to Him? And thus, in our trials, as I've taught many times, but I'll repeat again, we think of this being a trial. You can either respond to the Lord or you can react in your flesh. As we become aware of the trial, and the trial bears down on us, or the trial hangs on. And you know, sometimes we meet with the trial, we respond to the Lord, we're doing really well for the first hour. Maybe half a day, maybe a day, maybe a couple days. But it drags on and on and on. Pretty soon, we start reacting. Or it could be, at first we react right away, realize this isn't helping me at all, admit it to the Lord and start to respond. And the way you respond is always by faith. The way you react is, again, by your flesh. And as we deal with one trial after another, and by the way, life is filled with trials. Obstacles, difficulties, hardships, afflictions, which are not bad in themselves if we're willing to look to the Lord and be matured through them. As we sang tonight, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. And the verses reminded us, through fiery trials, He's going to be with us. His Word is there. His promises are there. You see, in your trials, your focus needs to be on the person of God. But secondly, in your trials, you need to faith rest in the promises of God. And you see, as he's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, he's remembering who his God is. Secondly, he's resting in the promises. Notice, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. That's what he's looking for. And then notice, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. By the way, that is a promise. A promise he then is willing to claim. A promise he's assured of. As he's faith resting in the promises of this amazing, powerful, sovereign, gracious, personal God. That is His Father. And you know, as believers, we know that the Lord loves us. He proved it at Calvary by giving His only Son. He reminds us in His Word, no one and nothing can ever separate you from His love. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Therefore, you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Is your focus on your God in your trials, or is your focus on you? Are you kissing the mirror? Are you focusing on the Lord? Faith resting in His promises, waiting upon Him to provide, waiting upon Him to direct. You're abiding in fellowship with Him. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place of fellowship and rest that God has for you. As the Lord Jesus, using the analogy of the vine and the branches, abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing. And thirdly, in your trials you need to fasten your hope on the provision and protection of God. And frankly, we need hope. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, God's Word gives us hope. And notice that's why He says, His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth. You see, while the circumstances sure don't seem like they're changing, you're right. But your God hasn't changed. He shall cover you with His wings. And under His wings you shall take refuge. Now, does God literally have feathers and wings? You know, there are those like in Mormonism who believe that as you are now, God once was, and what God is, you shall become. They believe God literally has, God the Father, literally has hands and feet and fingers and so forth. While the Bible says God is a spirit hath not flesh and bones. I would suggest to someone like that, does He also have feathers and wings? Half man, half chicken? Now, this is called an anthropomorphism theologically, in which a body part of man or beast is attributed to God to communicate a truth that we would understand, covering you with His wings and putting you under His, or covering you with His feathers and putting you under His wings is a place of protection, a place of warmth, a place of comfort, a place of care. In fact, if you'd go with me to Deuteronomy 33, and we'll end there tonight. Deuteronomy 33. It's very possible that the psalmist had this principle or this promise, this truth in mind. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Ever wonder where that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, comes from? It's right here. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. The first half, though, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. Imagine a little boy coming to a hole, and his dad's in that hole, and it's dark, and he can't see his dad, but he can hear his voice. And the dad says, jump, I'll catch you. Yeah, but dad, I can't see you. I want you to jump, I'll catch you. Yeah, but I can't see. I want you to jump. I'll catch you. Trust me. Trust me. And if the child is willing to jump, he's reflecting dependence. And in the same way, we don't always know how it's all going to work out. But we know the Lord does. And you know what He's saying tonight to you and to me? In your trials, your focus needs to be on me. That's what the Lord is saying. In your trials, you need to faith rest in my promises. Do you know them? Are you spending time in the secret place? Abiding in me and my words abiding in you? And in your trials, You need to fasten your hope not on the change in circumstances, but on the provision and protection of your God. He is there to meet that need. He is there to direct you in your time of need. He is there to lead you. For trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. For underneath are what? The everlasting arms. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that we then find rest, we find peace, we find joy, we find strength for the trials we face. For we're reminded again of the God that You are. We again are encouraged to faith rest in Your promises and fasten our hope on Your provision and Your protection. And Father, we all face trials, and I know and I'm sure there are those tonight hearing My voice that perhaps are going through some very difficult and deep trials in their life. Perhaps it's a wayward child, perhaps it's a marriage that's struggling, perhaps it's a physical or financial need of some kind. Maybe they've just been discouraged, out of fellowship, occupied with self. Maybe they brought it on themselves and maybe they haven't. But in either case, Father, we thank You that You never leave us and You never forsake us. You're tapping Your toe, wanting to show grace to us. And You invite us into the secret place of fellowship with You. You invite us to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You invite us to faith rest in You and Your promises as we walk in fellowship with You. You invite us to see firsthand Your direction, Your protection, Your provision in our life. To taste and see that You are good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in You. And Father, we know we're so prone to get our eyes off You, so prone to rely on ourselves, so prone to even pray as the last resort instead of the first. And we confess that to You. And we're just so grateful for the amazing grace You keep showing to us. Not using that as an excuse to sin or a license to sin or a justification for carnality. And Father, we know You want us to grow in grace and the knowledge of You. But thank You right now, with whatever trial we're facing, we can cast that right upon You. Whatever failure is staring us in the eye, that we can confess our sins to You, and You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever decision we're facing, that we can trust in You, and You will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. You will guide us with our eye. We just thank You that even though we're not faithful, You are. And again, You invite us into that secret place, that place of fellowship with You, all by grace and all because of Jesus Christ. Thank You again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of time constraints, obviously, we're not going to share tonight. But we are going to sing The Secret Place in closing. I do think there's some ice cream tonight, even though Carla's in New York with her granddaughter. I think she said she made arrangements, so there will be ice cream. So I'm glad. Let's sing in closing tonight The Secret Place, and let's stand as we sing together.
I found a secret place of comfort and relief, a special place of healing, a quiet place of peace, and everyone who dwells there finds rest beneath God's wing. In the shade of His pavilion, new strength He always brings. I find hope, I find grace, far away from world's embrace. He gives me rest, He gives me safe. I find His strength, I seek His place in the secret place. With every trial He brings, my Lord will make a way to strengthen and protect me, to help me face each day. He leads me through the valley to draw me closer still, knowing even in the shadow I find its perfect will. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world embrace. He gives me rest, He keeps me safe. I find His strength, I seek His face in the secret. One more time. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world embrace. He gives me rest, He keeps me safe. I find His strength, I seek His faith in the secret place. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.